May I have the remote, Rebecca? May I have the remote? No, the remote. Thank you. Colin, right after I get done praying, please leave the PowerPoint up. I'll control it for a few slides, and then if you'll shut it down afterwards. Thanks very much. Let's pray before we open the Word of God. Our God and our Father, we give you thanks for being able to be here, for being in a building that keeps out the cold, for having clothes to wear, food to eat, a free country to live in, a car to drive, a school to go to, friends and family who love and help us and who we can love and help. Father, we thank you for family on both sides of the spectrum. And Lord, lest we be ungrateful children, we could go on literally for hours thinking of all the blessings you've given to us. I pray that in this week of the year, this morning, Wednesday night, and Thursday, that we would be thinking of all these blessings, lest we become spoiled children, not giving thanks, maybe even swollen with pride, thinking somehow we've done these things. I pray, God, that as you open your word to us from the Old Testament this morning, that it would more than just be an open book. It would be a healing balm to the wounded heart. It would be a challenge to all of us to not forget all of your benefits, so that we can be humble servants for you to use, so we can be the kind of people who would see Christ in us, and we could point them directly to you. Help us, Lord. Give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, this is a new one. I'm going to give you a pop quiz this morning. I'm going to show you a series of slides. Then I'm going to ask the question, what do all these slides have in common? Ready? Here we go. That is not a flying saucer. Okay, what do they have in common? Whoops. What do they have in common? All of them are measures intended to prevent bad things from happening. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 20. This is a favorite passage of Scripture of mine. A favorite passage of Scripture that I actually was forced to preach on, didn't even realize, well, I knew that it existed, but I didn't realize its importance not only to the Old Testament and Moses warning the people of Israel before they would go into the Promised Land, but it's important in my own life and our lives as well, especially as we bear down on what we call Thanksgiving. Let's look at these pictures once again. Whoops. Okay. I didn't set the second set in. All right. Let's take them one at a time. Falling rock. That is not a sign intended for you while you are driving to look up on the hillside because bad things will happen. You need to keep your eyes on the road. But be aware that that sign was put there in a place where rock might fall onto the road so you can be forewarned to avoid a bad thing from happening. Now, we all don't like to have this happen because it costs us money, it costs us time. And then there's always, dear Mr. Fisher, I'm sorry, but your car didn't pass inspection. You need new brakes. That'll be $400, please. No, but the idea here is so that there is safety on the road, and as much as it is possible with us, we are being safe and trying to keep others safe. a smoke detector or our fire alarm system here in the church so that if something should happen, it would give us fair warning ahead of time. This is important to me particularly. How many of you are athletes? How many of you were athletes? Okay, yeah, I fall into that second category. And I enjoy the wood ministry. What I don't enjoy is in the last 2 years, for some reason, my thighs will just cramp up at night. And they will stay cramped for 20 minutes to the point that the pain is so excruciating there I have been known to scream and the tears, and I break into a cold sweat because I'm out all day cutting wood and doing things I wouldn't normally do. And then my kids said, "Ah, Dad," who are athletes, "there are things that you can do to prevent that. Let's talk." And the last three or four times that I was out, I was afraid to go to bed at night because that's when it would usually happen. I'm no longer afraid because there's things I can do ahead of time to keep that from happening. How about this? For those of you who may not be familiar, these guys are checking each other out and their equipment to make sure that when you go under the water, you're going to come back up. The pre-dive check. How about a good, solid meal, maybe breakfast, before the day begins, so you have the energy to complete what you need. And of course, that becomes rather evident in flu season or even traveling to see Amy or to see others outside the country. It's important that we become immunized as a preventative measure so that I don't end up getting, or you don't end up getting, some horrible sickness. It's extremely important. And in this section in Deuteronomy chapter 8, kill the PowerPoint and bring up the lights and take up the screen. Thank you. In this section in Deuteronomy 8, this is a warning sign, the falling rock sign that Moses erected for all of Israel. Now, Moses did it at God's direction. I mean, the book is inspired by God. God told Moses to write certain things. So I'd like us to read the first 11 verses. "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus, you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs flowing forth in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and figs and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey. A land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for this good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you this day." This is a preventative passage to give a historical context. This passage is given to Israel after God met with Moses at the burning bush. This passage was given after God's miraculous delivery from Egypt, when the God who is the I Am defeated every god of Egypt and made it plain to Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians that there is none that stands in the way of God Almighty. This comes after the parting of the Red Sea and their escape from Pharaoh's army and the sea closing over Pharaoh's army and providing safety for the millions of Jews that fled and literally defeated a superpower in the ancient world. It comes after wandering around in the wilderness because of their unbelieving disobedience, their choice to take matters into their own hands and refuse the direct commandments of God. This is after the final defeat of Jericho and Ai and other cities. This is before Israel takes possession of the promised land, before they enjoy comfort, food, prosperity like they have never experienced it before. This is before Israel gets too comfortable and slides into complacency, and they into gluttonous satisfaction and then into prideful thinking much too highly of themselves and forgetting about the Lord their God. This passage's purpose to prevent the sin of pride. Because once we slide into complacency, once we slide into success and enjoyment, that's the time when we are in the most danger in our relationship with God. It's not the times when we're hurting. It's not the times when we're destitute. It's not the times when some great catastrophe has happened. It's when things are going really, really good. That's when we're in danger. And Moses said, you need to be aware of it. Well, how do we prevent this? There is this disease of pride is replete throughout biblical history. It started in the Garden of Eden when Eve, who definitely had it good, thought that maybe she knew more than God and decided to disobey the only command that this couple had. She decided she wanted to be the determiner of right and wrong, took the apple or the fruit, gave it to her husband, and that didn't end very well. Cain and Abel. Cain swollen with pride and jealousy over his brother. Cain had a good producer from the land. But when he didn't do things God's way and give proper thanks, there was a rift between he and God, and he took it out on his brother. King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. But Nebuchadnezzar, king of a superpower at that particular time in history. Granted, a wise king, granted a military might, but he failed to understand how important it was to recognize the one who gave him those good things. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king 12 months after he was walking on the roof of his royal palace in Babylon. The king reflected and said, "Is not Babylon the great, which I myself have built, a royal residence by the might of my power for the glory of my majesty?" Much too many first-person pronouns. While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, it is to you it is declared sovereignly, your sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be among the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes." And immediately the word of the Lord concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. And he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. And he goes on with a wonderful psalm of praise. You see, when things are going good, that is the time when we are most susceptible to danger and disaster, spiritually speaking. The opportunity for infection for Israel was this. Things were going really, really well. Really well. They were about to cross into the Jordan. They were looking at blessings beyond belief. And Moses warned them ahead of time. Early warning system. I'm going to tell you, this is going to happen. Here's what you need to do to keep it from being a disaster. Bless the Lord your God. Give thanks. Recognize from whom these things come. And humbly be appreciative. You know, it's not beyond the realm of a New Testament Bible-believing church to fall into the same trap, is it? I mean, just take a look around the room. Isn't this a pretty building? You could say it's a, yeah, that is. It is. It's a beautiful building. How many of you are sitting on a rock? Nice cushion. It's a nice cushion. Early church had nothing like this. Nothing. It's cool in the summer. It's warm in the winter. We can meet at night because there are lights, so we don't have to worry about gas lines that could be explosive. How many of you rode a horse to church? Had to saddle it, clean up after it? Most of you came in a car. I walked. It's only across the driveway. But think of the things beyond the material possessions our church possesses. Attendance is up. Giving is up. If you looked at the bulletin, the giving is above projected budgeted giving by $13,000. And we are behind in expenses by $10,000. So we're to the good about $23,000. Praise the Lord. That's not because we're so smart. We're good stewards. But it's because God is so good. Think of some of the ministries that are just increasing. The mom-to-mom and the ladies' Bible study. There's like 15 families represented every Thursday. Men's fellowship. Friday, thank you. Men's fellowship. 19 men. 19 families. 19 men who are committing themselves to stepping up to the plate, not being passive and committing ourselves as God enables us to be men of God. That's exciting. But it's not that I'm so clever, or John's so clever, or Janet, the lady Bible study, so clever. That's not it at all. We have been praying and praying and praying that God would begin to do a work, and He's working. Let's not become complacent or prideful. Let's think of ourselves more as a tool in the box that God happens to pull out once in a while. And we get the privilege of fixing the engine, tuning up a family, helping to praise the name of Jesus. We see marriages restored, some souls were saved, some lives being made whole again. And frankly, folks, that's exciting. When is the most dangerous time? Right now. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful lest we think that we were so smart, so clever, so wealthy, that somehow this had anything to do at all with us and nothing to do with God. Because that's when God says, really, and pulls the rug out from under us. Let's keep praising. Let's keep giving thanks. Let us not enter into the spoiled child syndrome who is blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and then becomes complacent and then becomes in a spirit of ingratitude, has a mentality of entitledness, and thankfulness is so devoid from our lives. We need to be very, very careful, very, very intentional about preventing the danger that could come upon us. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 6 says this, "And as they pasture, they became satisfied, and being satisfied, they became proud, and therefore they forgot me." You see, Moses said this was going to happen, and he gave us a way around it, but it happened. And Hosea comments on that and other things in Israel's history where the pasture and satisfaction came, proud rose high, and they jettisoned the giver of all good gifts. Folks, we need to be intentional. And not just intentional to the point that we're just going to check off another thing on our religious duty by praying before or after a meal, or when we go somewhere in a car, or whatever we engage in doing. Let us be thankful out of a heart of gratitude inside a relationship with the living God who loves us enough to have his own son sacrificed for us. You see, because if we don't, we will be lifted with pride and become useless to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6 say, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." You know, that verse breaks down like a verse we examined in Sunday school, Matthew 6:33. It's a conditional clause. If you do this, God will do this. If you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, then all the things that are part of daily life will be added to you. And here it's the same. If you humble yourselves before God, he will exalt you at the proper time. We need to be careful that we do not forget, as James 1:17 reminds us, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." And there's a warning. In Deuteronomy 8, look at that passage once again. Verse 11 gives the warning. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commands, his ordinances, his statutes, which I am commanding you today." Now jump down to verse 19. See, this is what we're trying to prevent. "It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after the gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations the Lord makes to perish before you, you shall surely perish because you would not listen to the voice of your God." We need to be so, so careful. Well, let's look at some of the techniques of how this can be fulfilled in our lives. How do we prevent harm from falling rocks? Well, we take a careful look at the road, thinking there might be a rock in the way. Pennsylvania State Inspection. I know that it is normally the practice in my household to jack the car up, take some wheels off, look at the brakes, do this, do that, turn the lights on, get it all ready, and then take it to get inspected, because I know it's going to pass. Except this last time. Just ran out of time. And because I didn't act in a preventative way, yeah, enough said. I fixed it. It's back on the road. We're good to go. My sons came to me. They said, "Dad, I remember three years ago, we were hunting in the woods, and these cramps came. I actually had just seen a doe and two fawns, and I decided not to take them." Okay, they were pretty. All right? I mean, I am a hunter. I've taken a lot of deer, but for some reason, they were just pretty, and I decided I'm just going to watch them. So I'm watching them, and they left right after I started screaming. The cramps just, oh! I actually got my sons on the phone and said, "Boys, something's wrong. I've got these cramps. I'm not going to be able to make it out of the woods. Can you come help me?" And they actually came a-running. They had this horrible look on their face, like, "Dad's going to have a heart attack." I said, "No, it's not my chest, it's my legs. We're good to go. It just hurts." So that's when I got the lecture from my athletic sons. "Dad, when was the last time you had a drink of water?" "Oh, it was yesterday, I think." "You got to hydrate, Dad. It's best for you drink as much as you possibly can before you start exercising." "Oh, Dad, by the way," then my wife gets on the thing and she says, "Is it potassium citrate something? Is that what? Potassium, magnesium, some easium, okay, that runners actually take before a race so that they don't cramp up in the middle of the race." Wish I would have known that before I had all this stuff happen. And then there's some other things that you can do, like stretching. Remember the stretching exercises? So I'm doing all these things, and frankly, praise God, the last three times I was out cutting, like last Saturday, those brothers that went up to Camp Iroquoina, I actually was afraid to go to sleep Saturday night, thinking that I was going to wake up screaming. But I didn't. Listen to my sons and my wife, after all. Sometimes it's not father that knows best. And it worked. And the first thing, when my feet hit the floor in the morning on Sunday, I went, "Oh, praise God, thank you, thank you." He was able to help me in prevention And I was able to give him thanks. So let's look at some ways that are prescribed here that we might be able to do this. It says in the very part of the beginning of the verse, and it's a thing of obedience. It's something you just simply have to do. Okay, so water isn't my favorite drink in the world. And my wife is constantly on me. Bud, when was the last time you had water? Well, that's important. That's important. It's something I must intentionally do. And so is giving of thanks and prayer and blessing God for the good things he gives us. You shall, it's a command, he says in verse 2. You shall remember the way. You shall remember your past. And then when you come down to verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. What does it mean, bless? It means, it's the Hebrew word barak, to kneel, to bless, to pay homage. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2 say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. That's a tall order. Have you ever tried to not forget any of God's benefits? Have you ever tried to list God's benefits and make sure you don't miss any? We're going to be here a long time if that takes place. Psalm 95, 6 and 7 says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You see, gratefulness is a choice. It's deliberate, it's intentional, and it must be if we're going to prevent pride and if we're going to prevent bad things from happening. There was a pastor who actually was imprisoned, I think it was in China, and he was assigned to clean out the place where all the latrines would drain, and that's where he spent days and weeks and years. And learning to thank God for that assignment, because he was a believer in Jesus and the guards were trying to punish him, was an interesting proposition. What can I thank God for? Well, the smell is so bad, the guards aren't hassling me. I have time to think about the Lord, even amidst the filth. I am thankful that I'm still here and occasionally able to interact with others. And he went on down the list, thanking God for even the worst circumstance of life. What an amazing man. But it's deliberate. It's intentional. Where he could be otherwise, in the pit of despondence, in the prison of despair. Changing focus from circumstance to the Lord and thanking him for what he did have and not what he didn't. We need to understand that something like this is so simple and yet so profound. Part of our thankfulness needs to be in the presence of all of God's people. In Psalm 67, 1 through 7, for the Lord, the choir director with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. Be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that you may be known in the earth and your salvation among all nations. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the people with righteousness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. In Psalm 116, David, after encountering a life-saving experience in a supernatural way, has a great desire to get back to the temple area, back to the people of Israel in the place of worship, and give God his thanks in the presence of all the people, the psalm says. A wonderful proclamation. Now, it's kind of interesting. Have you ever thought about this? Should we pray before or after the meal? Well, before the meal, you're thanking God for the provision. You're hoping it tastes good. Afterwards, what happens after Thanksgiving meal is over? I mean, yeah, the tryptophan in the turkey knocks you right out. We just enjoyed a wonderful meal with family and friends around us, so the blessing of food and fellowship has just been bestowed upon us. And then it's right to the football game, or right to the busyness of dishes, or right to this or right to that. Please don't leave God in the dust. Would it be so harmful? I mean, I think sometimes we pray because there is a pattern in the New Testament. Before Jesus broke the bread, he offered up prayer to God and prayed for the bread. Would it harm us that when the meal is over and the first person is ready to leave to turn on whatever football game is on, to say, wait, we have just been blessed with unbelievable riches in food and conversation and family. Before we engage in other things, let's just pause. Let's just pause and thank God for what we just experienced, this delicious food and all the various people who brought it or prepared it, and their willing hearts and their servanthood. Let's just thank God for the family around the table, and that we have family around the table. And if we don't, maybe someone who has invited us to be part of their Thanksgiving meal and celebration. Let's thank God for the house and for the electricity and for the people and for the clothes and for the things that we would normally take for granted. You see, that's the injunction. After things have gone superbly well, stop. And remember who gave them. Remember who the ultimate giver of all good gifts, James chapter 1, really is. I mean, we've got some great cooks in our congregation, and they deserve our appreciation and our thanks. But I'd like to thank God who gave to them the skills and the wisdom and the experience so the Thanksgiving meal is really something else. It would not hurt us to pause before the busyness begins to just stop. To just stop. Actually, there is actually a Hebrew tradition. And according to this Hebrew website that I visited, there is a specific Jewish prayer to be offered after meals, and it specifically references Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. I thought that was fascinating. You see, we have been and continue to be blessed by the Lord our God. It would be a tragedy in our relationship to ignore the giver of all good gifts. And it would be helpful for us to intentionally maybe change things up a little bit so that it doesn't become another religious thing that we just check off. Oh, I prayed when I got this morning and I did my devotions and I went to church and I da-da-da-da-da-da. And you mark off this duty list, which is important. Those things are all important. But the danger with spiritual exercise is that it just becomes exercise and the spirit goes right out the window. It becomes a religious thing to do rather than a relationship-building exercise. So can I just challenge you? Number one, show up Wednesday night. So you can be like David, who in Psalm 116 said he couldn't wait to get with the people of God and give praise. And that's what Wednesday night is all about. Maybe scripture, maybe a hymn, but the rest of the time is for you to give thanks to God for anything you wish to give thanks to God for. And then on Thursday, most will bow before the meal. Can I challenge you to bow after the meal? Before the fun of the football games and yelling and screaming at coaches and or maybe going out in the back and tossing the ball around with the kids or the family that are available. Before that takes place, bless the Lord your God. Because you've just eaten. You've just been satisfied. And the Lord God has blessed you with a home and food and family and a church family and fellowship and teaching and salvation in Jesus Christ. Can't we just stop and give thanks for those things as well? So that's my challenge to you as your brother in Christ this morning. Bless the Lord your God for the good things that he has given to you, lest we be swollen with pride and the Lord has to teach us a lesson. Peter, would you come and help us to close our worship service by singing 563, Count Your Blessings. And let's stand to sing, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Peter, thank you.